Welcome once again to this week's edition of The Golfing Mind, the podcast which looks at the game of golf in general. But where possible, we focus our attention onto the mental game. The mental game of golf is, without doubt, a game within a game. And you could also say the mental game of life is something we need to be aware of. Because, as I've said in a number of previous podcasts, one of the greatest challenges for golfers, especially at the elite and the professional level, is their recognition that 80% of the skills they require to be champion golfers are not mechanical skills. They are, in fact, mental skills. You know, focus, determination, staying cool under pressure, having a very good, helpful attitude in all situations. So the mental side of the game is huge. However, as I often say, it's right up there with watching paint dry and stamp collecting in terms of being of little interest to the average person. But it got me thinking, as we're entering the major season, you know, we'll be playing the Masters in a few weeks, and then the roller coaster, four majors in 4 months, is keenly awaited. And upon a number of players' shoulders will rest this hideous title. And the title is Best Player Never to Have Won a Major. There are so many players with stunning talent, and yet the question is asked, why can't they get it done in a major? And it's a fair enough question when you think of it. You know, you have all this talent, you've won on the tour, and when it comes to the most severe test of all, you don't seem to be able to get it done. What's happening? And I think it's very harsh of journalists and fans to sort of hold against the player the fact they haven't won a major. Trust me, no one suffers more from that belief than the player themselves. So what I was sort of am asked the question, why do I think, from a mental point of view, some players just don't get it done? I think there's a number of reasons. And if we are to look at the players who haven't won a major, I think we can also look at players who have won majors, but just simply haven't won more, which kind of defies belief when you think of the prodigious talent they have. And the person I'm thinking of is obviously Rory McIlroy, who, you know, went ahead and just started to beat the world. Then suddenly he can't appear to get it across the line in a major. And let me not suggest for a second winning a major. It should be easy for anyone in any circumstances. They all have to grind it out and get the job done. But when I look at it, I think of players like Colin Montgomery. Colin Montgomery, for many years, would win the European Tour money list year after year after year. So his talent was beyond question. You look at Luke Donald, who was world number one for a period and never got it done. Ricky Fowler, another player who in his prime, and I believe he's going to come back, so you heard it here first. Ricky Fowler, in 1 year, the year when McIlroy won the Open Championship, and I don't have that date to hand, he was in the top five in every major. And there's not many people who have that statistic on their CV. Paul Casey, a stunning player who could just overpower a course, didn't get it done. Xander Schauffele, again, he won the Olympic gold and he's close. And in Carnoustie, he was very close, and they still are waiting for him to get his first major. So let me tell you what I think plays a part in this. And you may be very surprised when you hear me say this, but I think there is what I call the luck factor. Now, instead of using the word luck, you could always talk about random probabilities or random possibilities. But luck's as good a thing, because for me, another word for luck is opportunity. And sometimes opportunities favour us and opportunities favour other people. And they don't always favour us, if that makes sense. I hope it does. So let's explore a little bit more what I mean by that. In his prime, Greg Norman was this dashing, cavalier, long-hitting, blonde-haired, blue-eyed advertiser's dream. And he comes to the world and they think he's going to be a world beater. He's going to get multiple major championships. And yet, and again, forgive me for not knowing the exact dates of the tournaments, he had Bob Tway hole a bunker shot. He had Larry Mize chip in from the back of the, from off the green in a sudden death playoff. Would you just think, wait a second, how does that happen at this point? So from my perspective, he was unlucky that he didn't get those two. Now that gets inside your head. And then when he had his 5-shot lead in the final round, the one player in the world he wouldn't want to be paired with was Faldo. Faldo got an early birdie, and that was enough to make him feel, here we go again. So I do believe for some players that this luck factor plays a part in their career successes. You look at other players, I mean, a great example is Freddie Couples. Freddie Couples is just a gorgeous golfer, smoothest swing, fantastic, but he never appeared to be winning a major. And then he had his moment in the Masters, and he hits his ball, and I'm not sure if it was Ray's Creek or it was on the short par 3, but it hits the bank and starts to roll down towards the water, so it's over. And then the ball catches a tuft of grass that supports the ball. If that little tuft of grass wasn't there, he wasn't going to win that major. Now, that's not skill. You know, you could argue Larry Mize chipping in or Bob Tway chipping in from the bunker is skill, and I'd accept there's a terrific amount of skill there, but when it comes off and goes in the hole, you do have to tip your hat a little bit to Lady Luck. And you can look at Darren Clarke when he came down the stretch and won the Open Championship, and there was two shots of his which were not great shots, and one sort of scampered and ran between two bunkers. Had it got into either of the bunkers, it would have been over for him. Phil Mickelson on the same day, I believe, was 4-under through 6 holes. And then he just ran out of momentum. So, and controversially I say this, people say, oh, you can't rely on luck. And of course you can't rely on luck. But when it does appear, you either are the beneficiary or the victim. And I hate to sort of, you know, as an expert in the mental side of the game, to turn around and say something quite as random as, well, it was just bad luck. But I really do believe that. And I also believe that, you know, you have to learn how to lose before you can learn how to win. So that's the first thing, I think, that I often say when I'm asked about this. Why did Colin Montgomery never win a major? And I'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to say it wasn't his destiny because I don't believe the future exists. But what I would say that, you know, when his opportunity came, he, for some reason or another, didn't get it done. And then as the pressure built up on him, he put pressure on himself. Because the second factor that I think happens to these great players who haven't won a major, and there's people like Tony Finau, who I back him every year to win a major. I just feel he's got it in him. You've got Lee Westwood, who's had a phenomenal career, who's been very close, didn't get it done. Steve Stricker, Matt Kuchar, Ian Poulter. These are world-class players whose Ryder Cup records are just stunning. And I'm not going to analyse each and every one of them. I don't know them well enough, and it'd be ridiculous of me to try and do so. So that's why I'm using these sort of 4 general criteria. And the first one I've just discussed was bad luck. And there's good luck. You know, people can go out at a time of day when there's no rain and no wind, and the good player finds himself going out in the afternoon when it's blowing 30 and raining. So there's a little bit of good fortune. Now, when you're a multiple winner, I believe you take so much pressure off yourself, because having won one major, a little voice says, well, you can do it again, can't you? But looking at that point, and this is another one that I find curious, people often pour scorn on great players who haven't won a major, because it's like, well, they never won a major. I can name you a number of major winners who've never won anything else. You know, they're on that day, their Lady Luck was walking in front of them and just opening doors, and the field fell away behind them. And I'm not going to name the players, because out of respect for them, I don't want to take away anything from their achievement. But you only have to look at the record books and look at one or two names that you almost don't recognize. And if you do recognize, you recognize them simply for the fact they won a major. But they never really won anything after that. They never threatened in any of the majors. And there's a couple of golfers I can think of who have almost, you know, years after their one win, were off the tour or having to look for invitations, sort of sponsor invitations, because they were a previous major winner. Now, have they been the victims of bad luck since they won the major? And obviously, I think the answer to that is no, they've not. More relevantly, I think on the occasion when they played in the major, everything, absolutely just about everything, went their way, from sinking colossal putts, chip-ins, and from the people around them fading away, from them playing at the right time of the day. So please don't get me wrong. I take absolutely nothing away from anyone who holds a major title, and they have my undying respect, and they could kick my butt easily any day of the week. But I do think that there's a sort of the luck factor, and I don't think we can ever rely on it, but we shouldn't discredit it. So that's the way I'm going to best put it. The luck factor exists. Sometimes it works for us, and sometimes it works against us. The second reason I think some of these players have not won majors is there comes a weight of expectation on their shoulders. So when they start their career, there's no real pressure on them. They can turn up, play, and they're under the radar. And all of a sudden, you climb up the rankings, you climb up the leaderboard, you win a few PGA tournaments, you make one or two successful Ryder Cup appearances, and now your name's in the mix. And the more your name's in the mix, the more there's a little pressure being put on yourself. And I think that no matter how often you say otherwise, it is impossible not to put yourself under pressure often, especially when you're playing in a major, to play well. And there's an old saying that, you know, you can't win a major from the tee box, but you can lose it. And I've seen players in the first tee hit rank bad tee shots because they've just put themselves under such ridiculous amounts of pressure to play well, to do well. There's a gallery following them. The photographers are following them. Is this your year? Is this the year it's going to get? I mean, the person who I think must suffer from that more than anybody is Rory McIlroy at Augusta. I mean, if he can win in Augusta, he is going to have the four majors. You know, you've got Jordan Spieth. He's one away from his, I think, is it the US PGA or is it the US Open? There's one tournament that eludes him. And so these people are under enormous pressure from the press. Now, for the people that haven't won, they're under an equal amount of pressure, but not necessarily imposed by anyone other than themselves. And as I often quote my favourite line by Ray Floyd, who said, anybody who says they play better under pressure has never been under real pressure. And when we look at last week's tournament, the TPC, when Scotty Scheffler was 11 under par for the last 21 holes. And he's a world number one, and he's comfortably now taken us into a new era, hasn't he? He's taken us into an era where we're seeing an almost Tiger Woods-like expectation of what's he going to do this week. And I think Scheffler is going to be the next megastar in golf. I think he's going to be the next iconic golfer. And I just pray that his injuries don't in any way inhibit his potential being realised. He has a swing you wouldn't probably copy, and his footwork always makes me grimace. But none of that matters, because I think mentally he has an incredible faith in himself. And I know he has an incredible balance to his personality. You don't see him bang clubs. You don't see him swear. You don't see him. I mean, he just might give a small shake of the head and gets on with it. Anyway, I kind of digress there. The third reason I think that you have these great players that don't win a major is, and this one, again, might be somewhat controversial, I think they absolutely get in their own way. You know, I think that for all the preparation they do, all the practice they do, they've not learned to somehow just let go and let it happen. Because if, you know, if you ask a child to write their name, and they write their name, and then you say to the child, now I want you to write the name again, but this time in your very, very best handwriting. And if you do a good job, if you do a good job, I'm going to give you some candy. And if you do a bad job, you're going to have to go outside and wash my car. Now you suddenly see the child go from relaxed to tense. You see their tongue stick out their mouth. You see them concentrating so hard over every letter. And when they finish the signature, it's stiff and sticky. It never looks as good as the first one. And I think that for players, this happens when every player is trying, but they don't have that weight of expectation. And I do think they get in their own way. And I think when you get the one-win wonders, as we might want to call them, in a sense, they didn't expect to win. I mean, they hope to win. I mean, I'm sure everyone who tees it up in a major, even the amateur who sort of is the last qualifier, who's going off at 4:46 on the first day when the course is emptying, they must be thinking deep down inside, you know, maybe if I put four rounds together, you know, it could happen. So I don't think anyone tees it up at a major hoping just to get a good paycheck. I think deep down inside, everybody would love to win. I'd love to win a major. Who wouldn't? But I do think that to the pro who qualifies, they have no weight of expectation on them. So in a sense, they can just enjoy themselves. And the press love it, the public love it, when some unknown club professional who qualifies finds himself in the final day in the two off the lead. Now, sadly, the Cinderella story is yet to happen, and maybe one day it will. But on average, you know, the pressure suddenly, they go from thinking, I'll just relax and enjoy this and see what happens, to suddenly going, oh my God, I'm two off the lead. Maybe I could win. And then they shank a drive off the first tee or something awful happens. So, well, I've not seen them shank a drive, to be fair. And finally, what's the reason? And the fourth reason I have is they're in the future. You know, they're thinking of the consequences of losing or the consequences of winning, and they're not in the present. I'm sure on the course, over the ball, they are doing their best to stay present, one shot at a time, walk slowly, breathe deeply, don't look at the scoreboards, all the things I advise them to do and more. But I think it's very, very hard to not glance at the scoreboard. It's very, very hard not to imagine, what if I win? But sometimes, and this is something I've spoken to one or two players about, Henrik Stenson, when he was on his way to beating Phil Mickelson in that sensational final round at Troon, tells a story that, or his caddy tells a story, and I know I've told this story before. Stenson said to him, you know, you said if I win a major, you'll never smoke again. Well, you better have a cigarette, because it's the last one you're ever going to have. Now, with three holes to go, he was so sure of himself and his destiny that he could make that statement. I mean, that to me would just be so... I would never tell someone to say that, because you might jinx yourself. And I think that some players have the ability to get very in the moment. And Ballesteros used to say that he couldn't hear the crowd when he was in his flow state. And some players, I believe, especially the great champions, it's the majors that feed their juices. I mean, Nicklaus has said it was just about the majors. And I'm sure for the world's top four or five players, the majors is what everything revolves around. They revolve around the majors. And it'll be fantastic, as always, to see them tee it up, to see the best players in the world go for broke on the toughest challenges of the world. It just doesn't get any better. But I do believe there are players that their focus and concentration so firmly is on the majors that nothing gets in their way, doesn't doesn't interfere with them. So that's something that I've definitely thought a lot about over the years, and people have asked me, why so-and-so not want a major? And the person I always wanted, and I backed this person to win a major 3 or 4 times, was Ian Poulter. I'm a huge fan of Poulter's. I think his mindset is so fantastic and his competitiveness is so fantastic. But I think deep down inside that for him, he needs to be battling a person. So I think match play was always going to bring out the very, very best in him. And so I was very sad that Poulter didn't win it. I just think he was a... And Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, I'd love to see. And so we'll be discussing the Masters in 2 weeks' time, doing our wrap-up and our picks. And just for the record, if you're a gambling person, we got 3 of the 4 winners last year. So if you want to make some bets with your friends or your bookie or the guy in the street corner, you might want to listen to these. So we'll be discussing McIlroy's chances along with our picks and our discussion and analysis, which will be in 2 weeks' time. So I look forward to that. But that's it really for this week. As always, I say to you, if you're interested in learning and developing your mental game, we have online training programs that are highly, highly effective. We want you to train your mind the way you would train your mind to learn a language or train yourself to learn a skill. Mental strength isn't something you get by just adopting a tough attitude. It's a lot more complicated at one level and simple at another. But developing your mental game takes time, takes repetition. But once it's embedded in your subconscious mind, it's with you for the rest of your life. And it just beggars belief the amount of money people will spend on a new driver. And yet, if you ask them to do an online training course or come to a mental conditioning lesson, they'll go, I'm not going to pay that, even though it's a lot less than the cost of a brand new driver. And I'm sure it'll bring a lot better results than the new driver in terms of your play and your enjoyment. And it's a game, and we play games to enjoy ourselves and the companionship of the people we play against. Unless we're in competition with someone we really don't like, and then it's a different story altogether. Anyway, a big shout out to Mark Prophet, who was kind enough to help me with a swing tip this week. So much appreciated, Mark. And wherever you are in the world, I hope the weather is getting better. I was out practicing last week for the first time since the worst of our winter. And, I'd love to say I picked up exactly where I left off, but that would not be strictly true. I know some people thought I was doing an impersonation of a Canadian lumberjack at one point. But I didn't think so. But it's coming back, and I'm looking forward to a lot of golf later this year. I've got trips to Nairn in Scotland, to Troon, before the Open Championship, play in some competition there. I'm up in Edinburgh playing. I'll be over in America playing a number of wonderful courses in the Philadelphia region, and then out to Los Angeles. So if you want to play golf at some point, get in touch. I might be in your area. And if you'd like to do the online training course, there's a link at the end of on this podcast setup. So that's it. So until we meet again, wherever you are in the world, play good golf and take care.